John chapter 13, verses 31 to 38 this morning. Judas has just left the building. You like that? Now, Jesus can spend the final night with his true disciples teaching them, again, the most essential things that he has had in his ministry. Now, one thing that can't be avoided in what Jesus will say this night is that he's very preoccupied. He's preoccupied with his death and his resurrection. So it keeps coming up again. I'm going away. And where I'm going, you can't fool me. All these kind of things come up again and again. He speaks about his going. He speaks again of his return, that he's coming back. We cannot separate what Jesus is teaching then through this whole night about love from his own sacrificial love that he's about to have that next day on the cross. Thus, Jesus can speak at this point that his glorification has begun, because it really has. This whole moment of the cross begins this night because of the betrayal and everything else. The traitors left. The events are all now going to unfold again according to God's plan. All things now flow toward the cross for the glory of God. So, John chapter 13, starting at verse 31. When he, which is Judas there, when Judas had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I'm with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And this is perhaps like the whole centerpiece. All the Gospels led to this point, really, in Jesus' teaching. And everything he's going to say to them the rest of the night just goes back to this teaching. This is it. This is it, the new commandment. Love one another. This is all there is in Christianity, that we are to love one another as Christ has loved us. That's it, right? That's the gospel. God's love for us, our love for one another. Love one another. So, but he says it's a new commandment. That's kind of tricky because Jesus didn't invent this commandment, right, at this moment. He can't say it's new. It's not new in the sense that they've never heard it before. Gee, what a novel idea. We're supposed to love one another. Never would have got that out of the Old Testament. But it was in the Old Testament, wasn't it? Love your neighbor as yourself. So Jesus is obviously making a different point here. And the point is, as I have loved you. That's the whole point. That's the kind of love that takes on a new form because of the cross. That's his whole point. We are to love like Jesus on the cross. Just as the foot washing that they have experienced, that we talked about before, they must be forgiving with one another. They must serve and love and sacrifice for each other. That's what's so important here. The crucial element is that our love must be like his. It must be like his. And up until the cross, you really, really, really don't understand sacrificial love. You think you do. You think you understand love. You think you may have some ideas of what love for your neighbor is like from Jesus' teaching. But until the cross, we really, really don't see how great a sacrifice sacrificial love really is. And then Jesus says another thing. "By this all people will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another." Love is the mark of discipleship. And that is very, very significant here. Note that it's love within the followers of Christ that is primary in Jesus' mind. It's primary to him that they love one another. We are to love other people outside the church, outside the body of believers. But first and foremost, we are to love the true disciples of Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing. Why? Because those who do not follow Christ have no fellowship with us in terms of value system. They don't share a value system of sacrificial love for the benefit of others. They don't love others like Jesus loves. That is what we seek to do. We fail at it, but it's what we seek to do. And that's very different from the rest of the world. The rest of the world is like Judas, who just left, right? He left because he didn't share Jesus' value system. People like Judas, as we talked about last week, they're in it for themselves. They're in it to
to get what's good for them, ultimately. And so those kind of people, if you have any life experience, you will know that even though they can be good, there's elements. Let me say it a different way. Sacrificial love for the benefit of others, which is God's value system, which what we're all called to in the gospel. What's the opposite of it? You should know this. It's a single word.
Selfishness.
No, it's not the word I'm looking for. Opposite of sacrificial love is? Huh? It's very important that you learn this word. It's exploitation of others. That is the word. You either have sacrificial love or you exploit other people for your own gain. Those are the two opposites here. Now, you remember I've said this on several occasions. So the people who do not share God's value system, we're outside of the body of believers, what value system do they ultimately have? One that will exploit you. And if you want more proof, look at Judas. Judas sought to do what? Exploit Jesus. Exploit the fellowship of disciples. Now he's gone, and Jesus says, sacrificial love begins here, in the body of believers, primarily. That's not to say you don't love those outside the church. But when the people outside who don't share the value system, who have a value system that ultimately, fundamentally is for themselves, that will exploit other people, when they see real, true sacrificial love within the church that we will have for one another, they're challenged by the value system of the cross. They see something. That's why Jesus says, by this all men will know that you're my disciples. You're not the disciples of anybody else. My disciples have sacrificial love for each other. In other words, if you don't have sacrificial love for the other members of Christ's disciples, the other members of the body of the church, guess what? You aren't. You aren't part of it. Because Jesus' disciples have love like his for one another. So as those people outside the church see your value system in action, see the value system of the cross in action, that's part of that preparation in their hearts for coming to the King. That's part of the work of John the Baptist. They look at that and they say, they see what's attractive, what's different about the cross. Obstacles in their hearts are removed. So the love of the Christian community is, and I'm going to stress it, supposed to have for one another, is intended to be attractive to the world because it offers a value system unlike anything they have ever seen or experienced before. That's Jesus' intention in it. Now, some people might disagree with me at this point about having a love for believers that's deeper or different than for unbelievers. It's okay. You can disagree with me. My response, though, is this. I just want you to think about this, and then you can continue on in your error. My response is this. For whom did Christ die? Now, again, that's the big Calvinist-Arminian discussion, but let's boil it down to make it a little bit more clear. For whom did he say he laid down his life? For who? Whose sheep? His sheep. And he made it very clear talking to the Jews that not everyone was his sheep. But he made it very clear that he laid down his life for his sheep. Not for the other animals of the world. Note, when Jesus gives his teaching, what else happened just before it? Judas left. This teaching was not for Judas. This teaching was not for those who didn't share his value system. Judas would not change. He would not conform to the value system of Christ. So he exempted himself from the love that the disciples would have for one another. He was no longer part of that same community. He left. So we must remember that Jesus intends us to put other believers first in our sacrificial love. And those outside the fellowship second in our love. I'm not saying that we don't love them. But I'm saying we're much more careful in how we love them. Within the body, we have very, very particular, extreme teaching on sacrificial love for one another. We do love our neighbors as ourselves. But we do remember that our neighbors who are outside the church will exploit our sacrificial love against us. That is what Judas did to Jesus. Just be aware of that. So Jesus' commandment is new. Because, first of all, it is the command to have sacrificial love like his, which is completely different. It's new because the value system that he has becomes the basis for a new fellowship, which we call the church, a new fellowship of Christ's disciples. So it's new in both those ways. It's new in the new group it establishes who live according to the new standard of sacrificial love for the others in that group. The world will pay attention to Christians that have sacrificial love for one another. They do this because the love and commitment required by God's value system is so distinguished by the value system of the world. But when Christians will not live according to Christ's new commandment, they should hardly dare to call themselves Christians. They don't look like it in his eyes. And they don't look like it in the world's eyes. They're not like him if they do not show the same concern for the other disciples that Christ himself showed for them. In other words, Christ calls you to love other believers with the same kind of love he loves them with. That is what he's saying. That's the standard. Jesus calls you to love other believers with the same kind of sacrificial love that he showed. Do you see how extreme that is? Do you see why that's a new commandment? But you should also be able to see why, first and foremost, that's within the church itself. So this brings me back to the idea of how important it is to get the gospel right and to know who truly believes it and who does not believe it. Because not everybody who calls himself a Christian is a Christian. Not everybody who thinks that they go to church and that makes them like Christ is one of Christ's disciples. Only those who seek to adopt the value system of the King are truly his disciples. Only those who look at Christ's teaching, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I've loved you, only those who love one another as he has loved you are his disciples. Everyone else is just faking it. And they're either trying to exploit Jesus or they're trying to exploit you. And yes, you just heard that right. Churches are filled with people trying to exploit Jesus. They are. For what they can get out of him, whether it's just a ticket out of hell or something else, health and wealth and whatever else, but they have no intention of actually practicing his value system. And if you think you are going to get something from him, but you have no intention of actually being his disciples, you're really, like Judas, only trying to exploit Jesus. In other words, get something from him. Now, other people in the church trying to exploit you, they're just going to church because it's good for their business or their politics or their some social end. That's exploitation. That's manipulation. They have no intention of ever showing real sacrificial love for you, because that's not part of their value system. And all those people that live like that are just as doomed as Judas. So we need to get the gospel right so we know who else gets the gospel right, so that we know those whom we have sacrificial love for in priority relationship. Now, let me continue with the text. The difficulty in sacrificial love comes up in it. Verse 36. Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow me afterward." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times." So Peter is hanging on Jesus' words about leaving because he really, really doesn't want to hear Jesus leaving. That is not what he's ready to hear. He wants them to know, where are you going, Jesus? Because I'm going to follow you to the ends of the earth. He wants to know why he can't follow Jesus now. Why does he have to wait? And then Peter says, Jesus, I'm willing to sacrifice my life for you. At least he's got something out of what Jesus is teaching so far, right? Perhaps he's actually, I think, trying to use Jesus' own words against him. Well, which words were they? Do you remember back in John chapter 10? We've already talked about this morning. The good shepherd does what? The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, right? And so Peter's saying, I was listening the other day. I will lay down my life for you. That's what he's trying to do. He's using Jesus' words to get to Jesus and say, I'll follow you. You can tell me all your plans. I'll go with you. Peter wants Jesus to know that he's so committed to him that he's willing to sacrifice himself. He's willing to die for Jesus. He's trying to show Jesus that he has adopted Jesus' value system. But he hasn't yet. We know this because he's going to fail in sacrificing himself. We know the end of the story. We know that he's going to, as Jesus said, deny Jesus three times. Doesn't look like sacrificial love unto death, right? Sacrificial love for others is very, very difficult. Far more difficult than Peter now realizes. Once danger arises, self-love and self-preservation become very powerful motivators. So powerful that Peter would see that his love for Jesus was not nearly as strong as his love for himself. It wasn't nearly as love, his love for Jesus was nearly as strong as the love that he thought he had for Jesus. So we think we love Jesus a whole lot. We think we love each other a whole lot. Until it comes to the point where we actually really have to test that when it costs us. And then we find out we're a lot more like Peter here. We fail at sacrificial love. Once we're taught that this is the thing Jesus wants of us, to have sacrificial love for the other disciples, it sounds so easy. Oh yeah, I got that. Check. I understand the gospel. No problem. We think we can do it. But it's very difficult. We have a great difficulty in sacrificial love. You all do, and I do. It's really, really tough. Think of it in these terms. How often do you get offended with another Christian? With another one of Jesus' disciples? Just getting offended with them. Fail. You know, you fail at sacrificial love when you get offended at another Christian. We're so easily distracted from sacrificial love. We're so easily willing to deny that we know Christ by our actions. Because every time our actions don't show sacrificial love, we're not following the new commandment that is to reveal that we know Jesus, that we are his disciples. Every time we refuse to have sacrificial love for others in the body of Christ, we deny Jesus. We show we are rejecting his value system. We're refusing to listen to his call to the one new commandment. But fortunately for us, Jesus doesn't fail. Not only does he know that Peter is going to fail, he knows that we will fail multiple times. Right? Can you imagine? Peter hears this three times in one night. I mean, that is, you know, really setting a guy up to feel bad about himself. Peter fails multiple times on the same issue in one night. After being told he's going to do it. You know, you think the first time you'd clue in, right? You don't either. But the nice thing is, Jesus continues with us. He continues with us. Jesus never rejects Peter. He never excludes Peter from the fellowship. He never casts Peter out into the darkness as Judas left. But he also never allows Peter to get away with half-hearted devotion. He expects Peter to change and to grow in faith and to become a leader of the flock. If Peter's willing to take the words of the Good Shepherd, I will lay down my life for the sheep, that's what he's doing. He's quoting that part. Jesus, later on, we know this later on, when Jesus reinstates Peter on the beach there, and he says, Peter, do you love me? Now you can see what he's really talking about there. What is he really talking about? Peter, do you have what kind of love? Sacrificial love. You told me that night before you betrayed me or denied me three times, you told me what? Jesus, I have your value system. Jesus, I have sacrificial love for you. Jesus, I'm willing to die for you. And then on that beach, what does Jesus say? Do you really have that kind of love for me? Of course, Peter says, well, I do now. He probably kicks a rock. But he asks him three times. But what I love the most is what Jesus says to him after each time he says, yeah, you know I love you. He says what? Peter, take care of my sheep. Take care of my flock. Feed the lambs. This is what he does. Why does he do that? Because Peter had quoted, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Peter, now if you have sacrificial love, if you love me as you say you do, then you will do what for the other disciples? You will lay down your life for them. You see that? You will lay down your life for them. If you love me, you will have sacrificial love for them. That's why he tied the sheep every time. And tradition tells us that that is exactly what Peter did. I don't want to go any farther into that upcoming sermon. But you can see where that goes. And you can see how it all makes a whole lot more sense. And how it's all tied to this text right here. Jesus never fails because he never fails at doing his value system. Wouldn't that be nice? You never fail at doing your value system either, by the way. Just so you know. But this is why Jesus never lets us go when we fail. Because part of his value system is to keep hanging on to us. To never give up on us. To keep on forgiving us when we fail. And that's why we have to do that for one another when we fail each other. But we can't choose to live in failure. That's the difference between Peter and Judas. Judas chose to live and ultimately die outside the value system of Jesus. Peter chose to live a life of discipleship. When he failed, he was shown where he failed, and he changed it. And he went on to become a sacrificial lover, to give his life for the rest of the disciples, the church. The exploitation of others is the value system of the world. It sees another person, and instead of wanting to serve that person, it attempts to get its own desires out of that person. That's why you must be cautious in your love. Jesus knew that. Jesus knows that his disciples, trained in sacrificial love, will always be in danger of exploitation. Here he narrows the place of his love to those who genuinely follow him. Remember, he told us to go out carefully into the world. The disciple of Christ must seek to love sacrificially first for the fellowship of true believers, true disciples. But the disciples would not be required to have this kind of love for Judas, lest Judas take advantage of them just as he did Christ. You think Judas wouldn't betray the rest of them? Do you really think so? I've told you before, you can easily measure how much a person is like Christ by the level of sacrificial love they demonstrate. That's it. There's nothing mystical about it. A person's actions will always be what identifies them. That's what Jesus teaches right here. The world will know if you're my disciples, if you have sacrificial love, love like mine, for each other. He didn't say anything else in that. He didn't say anything that was kooky or weird. He didn't say anything about having any particular spiritual gifts or speaking in tongues or doing miracles or raising the dead. He didn't say anything about any of those things. There's nothing you can throw into the heap. Jesus didn't put anything there but one thing. The world will know if you're my disciple, if you have sacrificial love for one another. Done. That's it. The person who claims to follow Christ but seeks to take advantage of others, to exploit them, is not Christ's disciple. He's a Judas. Jesus tried very hard to get Judas to adopt his value system. We talked about that last week. But Judas was unwilling to change, and so he had to be removed from the fellowship. Why? For the sake of the other disciples. We, like Peter, will not always be successful in sacrificial love. We know it's very difficult. But Jesus never gives up on those who seek to change and become like him. He never gives up on the Peters. He gives them another shot to change. But when they refuse to change, then they're like Judas and they're removed for the safety of the rest of the body. That's Jesus' whole goal. In all this, to make us like him, to have us change and become like him. And it's through his love and patience and forgiveness that we learn to have patience and love and forgiveness for one another. That's why after the cross, Peter's actions could take on a whole new meaning with a whole new power, the power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll get into that next week. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, that you are the one who came to give us your life on the cross, that we would really, really know what you required of us, and that you would allow us to enter into really beautiful relationships that look like the one that you have with your Father. Help us to remember that when we have a problem between us and another believer, it's indicative that we are not loving like you, and that we are at fault and we need to change. Help us to be very, very careful in this, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.